I'll be continuing today with what we were talking about, you know, questions that God asks us rather than questions we might ask God. And I challenge you all this week or sometime in the next month, you know, even Google it, questions that God asks us. There's more than you think, and they're really thought-provoking. And not only that, but they may move you to consider who you are and the life that you live in a little different light. Now, today, we're reading from Exodus chapter 14. And the Lord God hardened Pharaoh's heart, who was king of Egypt, and then he pursued the people of Israel while the people of Israel were going out and being defiant. The Egyptians pursued them, all Pharaoh's horses and chariots and his horsemen and his army. And they overlooked the camp where the Israelites were. When Pharaoh drew near, the people of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them. And they were greatly in fear. And the people of Israel cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Is it because there are no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? What have you done to us in bringing us out of Egypt? Is not this what we said to you while we were in Egypt, leaving us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness." And Moses said to the people, "Fear not, stand firm, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you'll never see again. And the Lord will fight for you, and you only have to be silent." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry out to me? Tell the people of Israel to go forward." This is the word of the Lord. Today, as in the children's message, I'm going to talk about that little part there where the people of God were crying out to God. And then God turns around and says, "Why are you crying? Why are you crying?" Doesn't that seem a little bit odd or weird or out of sorts? Doesn't the scripture tell us that we ought to cry out to God? That when we have troubles and we're in situations that can't be resolved, doesn't he say, "Say your prayers, come to me, and find deliverance"? Odd that here he asks the people, "Why are you crying?" I always thought crying was good for the soul. I disagreed with my dad on this one, who said, "Don't be a crybaby." I always thought it was okay to cry. Well, to tell you the truth, it is. And certainly we ought to talk to God in our prayers, especially when things aren't going well and we have questions that can't be answered. Certainly, we ought to. Here's the point. Sooner or later, you got to stop. Nobody likes a crybaby. Now, last week we talked about Moses from the time he was a baby to the time he was before the burning bush. And God looked at Moses, and Moses says, "I can't do what you're asking me to do." And God says, "What's that in your hand?" Moses said, "Only a staff." And God says, "I'll do great wonders." Well, we move from that point where, of course, Moses was called, went back to Egypt, dealt with Pharaoh. Pharaoh wouldn't listen. There were 10 plagues. The last was the plague of the last-born son that would die. That led to Passover. The blood of the lamb was put over the doorpost. Death passed over all of those who listened to God. Their firstborn lived. Pharaoh's son, however, died. Pharaoh, in his remorse and ongoing crying, let the people go. The people left in haste. They went as God directed. They followed Moses until finally Pharaoh said, I've made a mistake. He came to his senses and said, I'm not going to let this happen. I'm going after my slaves. They're going to pay the price. So he followed after him. And of course, Moses brought the people as far as the Red Sea. And there they stood. Pharaoh's army was approaching, and the people started to cry out, Moses, why have you brought us here to die here? Weren't there graves in Egypt? We could have just died there. Now comes Pharaoh's army with all the chariots and spears and the bows, and here we're going to die in the middle of nowhere. What good is this? Moses, of course, says, stand firm, see what the Lord's going to do. He's going to do great things. And then God turns to him and says, stop your crying. Move on. I find this one of the strangest passages of the Bible. In fact, I told our small group when we were studying this very question a couple weeks ago, I think this is kind of odd. What's the point? Don't cry out, even though Moses says, fear not. Now, I grew up in a home where there was a lot of odd sayings. My mom and dad, of course, being in the generation just after World War II, said some things that were strange. They used idioms regularly with me. And one of them was, for crying out loud. Have you ever heard this? I'm still looking to find out what a crying is. A C-R-I-N-E. I haven't figured it out. So the other day, while I was studying this, I thought, maybe it's crying, for crying out loud. So, you know, as I always do, I pick up my smartphone and I Google it, for crying out loud. And sure enough, it comes up. This is what my mom and dad were saying all those years. I didn't understand it, but that was exactly what they, for crying out loud. It means to be irritated or impatient with somebody. All those years, they were impatient with me and irritated, and I didn't know what it was. They'd get up on Sunday morning and they'd get ready for church. And being the prima donna I was laying in bed still sleeping, and my dad would always come in and he would say, for crying out loud, Ross, get up and get dressed. What are you, some kind of prima donna? I still don't know what a prima donna is. I'm working on that one. Or the other one, my mom, when she served liver and onions, for crying out loud, eat your supper. Could God be impatient and irritated with Moses and God's people? More importantly, could there be a time that God gets impatient and irritated with us? After all, he gave directions to Moses and the people, right? Go in haste. Don't make your bread with yeast. It takes too long. Grab your crackers and go. Take not much with you, your staff. Tuck your shirt in and get out. Move on, folks. It's time to go. Don't just stand there. Move. We're crying out loud. I'm delivering you. Do something. It's okay to cry to God, but when it keeps you from growing up and moving forward, you got a problem. Doesn't that sound kind of harsh? But it's true. Crying's good. Cry out to God. Do it when you need to. When you need help, when you need deliverance, don't look to anybody else but God. He's the one with the strength. to give you the faith to carry on. However, you got to grow up, you got to move forward. For example, I'm trying to lose some weight. My wife tells me the best way to do that is to cut down on the calories and get more exercise. Sounds smart? Does that sound smart? That's my problem. I cry out, I want to lose some weight. Cut the sugar. Cut the fat. Cut the unnecessary food. Get moving. Finances. Oh, I wish I had enough money to go on a nice long trip. Why isn't the money there? What are you spending it on? What's your budget look like? Budget? What budget? Sometimes you have to make changes to move forward. I hate my job, don't like my job, don't want to do my job. It takes effort to go back to school. It takes effort to retrain. It takes effort to move forward and do something else. It's hard. It's not easy. Another one that I think we all need help with that are married is, you know, my marriage is falling apart. It's on the rocks. I'm not happy. My spouse is a nightmare. Ask yourself, when was the last time you prayed for her? How can you move forward in your marriage unless you're praying for the one you're supposed to love and hold as your beloved? Praying will change you. And perhaps if your spouse sees a change in you, there'll be a change in her or him. As I said with the kids, you know, Jesus cried. It doesn't tell us everywhere in the scriptures where he cried, but we know he cried. And like I said before, the most important part or most important story I know of Jesus crying was when he was on the cross and he cried out, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? My God, where are you? I can only imagine the tears and how red he got. I can only imagine how downhearted he must have been and the questions that must have moved through his head. Is it worth it? Could have came down and said, no, it ain't. I'm going to go home, continue to cry. He didn't. He stayed there. He moved forward. Doesn't look that way because he dies on the cross, but he moved forward. He fulfilled the mission and ministry the Father had given him. He did his duty. He did what he was supposed to do. He fulfilled his obligation, but he did it with love. As we know, 3 days later, victoriously and gloriously, he rises again. And now he's Lord over this wonderful church. Perhaps we need to hear this today. Move on. We're crying out loud. Move on. There's always a tomorrow, for God is good. People always have a tomorrow, even if it's in heaven. Go forward. No looking back. Too much work to be done for Christ's sake. I want to close with a story about David Anderson. And maybe you know David Anderson. He runs a special retreat for pastors and missionaries and church workers down in Arizona called Standing Stone. I've been there. Wonderful. They do wonderful things for people in the ministry. David has a story to tell. David started his ministry with song. He had a Christian music group, and he was invited to Russia. Northern Russia. To go and sing and present his music, which was, at the time, kind of dangerous. But that wasn't the most dangerous aspect to this trip. They flew over, they did their thing, and they were flying back, and the pilot didn't put enough gas in the airplane. You believe it? And just before they got back to where they were supposed to be in Alaska, flying over cold and frigid waters, the plane went down about a mile and a half to 2 miles short of an island that came before the airport. They all hit the water safely, no one severely injured. They had time to get life vests out, and so on and so forth. But there they were floating around in the frigid waters, the North Pacific Ocean, short of Anchorage. And so they were saying their prayers, crying out loud to God. Seven of them, including the pilot. And as they were floating there and looking at this island, one of them said, in fact, it was David, "We're going to have to make a go for it." The other said, "We'll never make it. We'll die." David turns to him and says, "You're going to die if you stay here." Who knows if a rescue plane is going to make it in time? So they started swimming, but one of the gals that was in the group couldn't stop crying and thinking about death and wouldn't move. So David tells the story about how between him and his wife and the drummer of the group, they dragged this other member of their band to shore. They swam the whole thing while she cried. It's a worthwhile story to tell. It's a worthwhile story to think about as each and every one of us face what we face during the week and the month and the year ahead. Things are going to happen. Some of them aren't going to be sweet. Some of them aren't going to be nice. Some of them aren't going to be necessarily a good memory. But when God gives us faith and strength because he answers our prayers, there's always hope. And if there's always hope, there's always the opportunity that when we move forward, God will fulfill his plan just as he chooses. Go in peace then, and serve the Lord always. And all God's people say, Amen.